Go to James chapter 3 this morning. And when we think about what God has done for us, we can't help but to smile. I don't think I've ever seen someone win the lottery and go, oh, why did I win the lottery? Couldn't it have been somebody else? No, you're usually happy about it. Well, God's people ought to be a lot more happier than someone that won the lottery, because you have treasures in heaven that moth can't get to, rust can't get to, thieves can't steal. You have a mansion in the Lord's house that has been prepared specifically for you, and one day we're going to walk on the streets of gold. But even now in the life we live, there is joy to be had because we walk with our Savior. We walk with the one who holds our hand, who holds our life in the palm of his hand, the very one that watches over us and knows us by name, and sometimes he has to call our name to get our focus back on him so we realize, oh, the Lord is still here, he's still in control, I can still trust him, right? So we can be that sunbeam that people want to say, why, what are you smiling about? Didn't you hear what happened? Don't you know what's going on in the world? Well, I do. But I'm also walking with the one who created this world and the one that has given a way of escape through the Lord Jesus Christ. In James chapter 3, let's look at verse 13 through 17 this morning. I want to talk to us this morning about being rooted in the wisdom of Christ. Being rooted in the wisdom of Christ. James chapter 3, verse 13 through 17. The Bible says, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. Father, we do thank you for your goodness this morning. And thank you, Father, we truly do have something to smile about. The fact that we know you and you know us. The fact that you've given us a relationship with you through Jesus Christ. Father, thank you for all that you do in your lives of your people. Thank you, Father, for just helping each of us to be here this morning. Father, we pray that you would bless your people as we sit and listen intently for you to speak to our hearts. Father, would you establish our thoughts this morning, take away all distractions of our own thoughts. Help us, Lord, to look steadfastly into your face and, Lord, to listen to the words that you speak to our hearts about. Father, I ask that you would speak to the hearts of the children as well, continuing to sow the good seed into their heart that will bring forth much fruit in their life, the fruit of salvation as they put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the fruit of a friendship with Jesus Christ as they learn to walk with their Lord and Savior. Father, I ask that you would have your way with us today, and may we be, Lord, willing servants that say, Lord, here am I. Have your way with me. Father, we ask that you would rebuke the devil on our behalf. Father, we don't have any power against him, but we do have Jesus Christ who has all power. And in the name of Jesus Christ, we ask that you bless our time together. May it be fruitful, but as always, may it bring honor and glory to you. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Again, talking to us this morning about walking or being rooted in the wisdom of Christ. And I want to read you something in regards to an evangelist from years ago, the late 1800s and 1900s, came across this morning as I was reading my daily devotion. And it says of this man, one of the great Bible teachers and preachers of the past, G. Campbell Morgan, had already enjoyed some success as a preacher by the time he was 19 years old. But he began to read Charles Darwin and other critics of biblical truth, and his mind filled with doubt about the Bible. Stopping there for a moment, you and I understand that Charles Darwin was an atheist, a non-believer. He is one that pretty much taught people that you're your own God by teaching evolution was true and the Bible was not true. Now, today, young people may not be reading the works of Charles Darwin, but there are critics that all of us listen to at times. And if we continue to listen to the critics of this world who do not believe in God, do not believe in Jesus Christ, and do not believe in the truth of God's word, we will be affected by that. Evil communications are corrupted, all right? Corrupted by evil, good manners are corrupted by evil communications. Here's a man, a young man, and he went on to preach until the mid to late 1940s. But here's a man whose faith was being challenged by the lies of the world, being challenged by science as well in his day. And he found himself having some doubt about God, about his word, and even I'd say about the wisdom of God. And because of that, because he had some doubt that was filling his mind, it goes on to say about G. Campbell Morgan, finally, knowing he could not continue to preach with such doubts, he canceled his upcoming speaking engagements and put away all the books he had been reading. He went to the store and purchased a new unmarked Bible, then sat down and began reading it, reading nothing else until he completed it from beginning to end. His doubts fled away, and he spent the rest of his life preaching the word of God he had come to fully trust. In our day and age, like I said in Sunday school, more and more Christians are not willing to put away the things that are not teaching truth and not pointing them to Christ. And instead, more and more Christians are laying aside the wisdom of God, the truth of God's word, and just diving right into the lies of the world. They're being drawn away from the Lord. And this morning, I want to talk to you and me about being rooted in the wisdom of Christ. Being rooted in the wisdom of Christ. And godly wisdom is foundational to being rooted in Christ. Wisdom is what leads us to every decision we make, every direction we take, from the most seemingly insignificant matters to the weightiest of matters. The Bible says in Colossians 2, verse 8, "Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." We still have to be warned that this world is contrary to Jesus Christ, contrary to the truth of God's word. The devil is still alive. The devil is still raging war against God's people. There is a bullseye on our backs, but he cannot do anything in our life unless God allows him. We see that plainly, clearly in Scripture. We're not to be afraid of him. But we are to be sober-minded. We are to understand we do have an adversary who wants to steal not only our joy, but wants to steal our faith in what is true. And many of God's people are buying the lies of the devil, and they are discrediting the truths of God's word. This man, at the age of 19, found himself being challenged. Found himself doubting the things of God. Now listen, we find ourselves doubting at times, but we must remain resolved in our hearts to search out the matter, to seek after the truth, to remain rooted in the wisdom of Jesus Christ. And he did the right thing by putting aside everything he had been reading. I mean, apparently, his Bible had been all marked up just from the years, from 13 to 19, he had been preaching. So, verses that stood out to him, but he put it all aside, got a new Bible, and searched the Scriptures again, from Genesis to Revelation, and found that the Word of God was true. Because you know what happens when we give ourselves to the Word of God? It cleanses our mind. It washes our heart of all the filth that we've been listening to. Because the ungodly music in this world, the ungodly counsel, the philosophies that we hear from every part of society, whether it's Facebook, Twitter, whether it's the news media, whether it's music, there's just things that we listen to directly, indirectly, that does affect our thinking and causes us not to trust God and not to walk in the wisdom of God. And you and I, today in our life, we need more wisdom as the world gets worse and worse. Because again, just because society and the culture says it's legal, it's right, does not mean it's legal and right in the eyes of God. James 1:5 reminds us, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. You and I need the wisdom of God to continue walking in the ways of God, to continue making sound decisions, and not to be fearful, and not to doubt the things of God. You would think that if we have the truth of God's word in the palm of our hand, we never would doubt. But that temptation does come. Whether we're talking to somebody else, and they're doubting, and they're saying things that plants a seed in our mind, and maybe it's not true. Maybe God's really not in control, because look at the world. Look at things that just happen. I mean, if God was in control, why does it seem like sin just runs rampant? Why does it seem like people just choose to do their own thing? Because he gives people a choice. But for you and myself, as God's people, we have to choose to remain rooted in the wisdom of Christ. And verse 13, it shows us wisdom and how it's demonstrated. Look at verse 13. It says, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Now, it asks two questions. It asks a question and gives an answer right there in verse 13. The question is, who is wise and has been given knowledge? Who's wise and has been given knowledge? And it gives the answer that you will recognize them because it's the person whose life demonstrates a spirit of meekness and wisdom. It says, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation, his life, his works, with meekness and wisdom. So godly wisdom is demonstrated in our works, in our life, the things that we do. In Daniel chapter 2, turn there or just listen, but in Daniel chapter 2, Daniel demonstrates this godly wisdom. Daniel, who's living in Babylon, Daniel, who was allowed to be second in command, or not second in command, but he was one of the wise men. He's one of the king's men that the king would look to for wisdom. And as Daniel is there before the Lord, and I'm trying to think, talk, and turn at the same time, and just sometimes men can't do that. I can chew gum and walk at the same time. But in Daniel chapter 2 and verse 28, Daniel has been summoned. He's been summoned because they need somebody to give them wisdom. There's something going on. And it has been said of Daniel prior to chapter 2 that the spirits of the gods are in Daniel, because Daniel had a godly spirit. Now, he didn't have the spirit of gods, but he had the spirit of God upon his life. But the heathen and those that did not believe in Jehovah, they saw that, you know what, he was a man that had some wisdom. He was a man that had a relationship with God. And as Nebuchadnezzar talks to him and says, I've heard that, you know what, there's no dream you can't interpret. I mean, you are the man, and if you can do this, I'll give you some riches. But I want you to just notice in verse 28, as Daniel was being praised up for his wisdom, and it was being recognized, Daniel never takes credit for the wisdom he has. In verse 28, he says, but there's a God in heaven. There's a God in heaven. And obviously, the God in heaven, our Heavenly Father, revealed the interpretation of the dream. Daniel was just the spokesman who spoke it to the king. But what I want us to understand when you read the life of Daniel, it was noticeable. The godly wisdom he had was demonstrated in his life, and people recognized it. But Daniel gave credit back to the Lord. In Acts chapter 6, when the church is trying to find their first deacons, and they need some men to help with the widows that they felt were being neglected, the apostles said in verse 3, "Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom may we appoint over this business." The godly wisdom that we walk in will be demonstrated in our life. People will see it. People will notice it. The godly wisdom that we have. The true test of wisdom is working it out in our lives. Philippians 1:27, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving for the faith of the gospel." Again, we're told in Scripture that we're to walk in the wisdom of Christ. The philosophies of this world, the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. But a lot of God's people fall into the deception of the wisdom of this world. And God wants us to walk in the wisdom of Christ and be rooted in that wisdom. Again, when you look at Scripture, I always think about the prodigal son. The prodigal son who was being taken care of by the father. He had everything he needed. But there came a day when he thought to himself that he'd be better off living his life how he wanted to, away from the Father. And again, that is a picture of our relationship with the Heavenly Father. The prodigal son's not a lost person. He's a saved person. That's the son of the Father. So by the world's wisdom, I'm going to take my inheritance. I'm going to live my life how I want to. Not thinking that the ways of a man lead to destruction. And as that prodigal son lives his life to the fullest, yet when all the money is spent and famine comes into land and he has nothing, those worldly friends he once had, they're not there for him. Even the pig farmer doesn't care. "I take care of my pigs, but I'm not going to feed you." And that's why he's there looking at the pig slop, thinking about, you know, eating that because he's so hungry. But then by the grace of God, it comes back to his mind how good he had it at his father's house. What I want us to understand is that when we walk in the wisdom of this world, we will find ourselves in the pig pen at different times. But when we walk in the wisdom of God, or are rooted in the wisdom of God, we find ourselves being taken care of. We find ourselves being loved. We find ourselves being directed by the Lord, and not finding ourselves leading our own self into destruction. Again, godly wisdom is demonstrated in our life, and it bears out in our life. Daniel, obviously, was a man of God who feared God, loved God, and had the wisdom of God in his life. In verse 13, it's shown in our spirit. You go back and you look at James chapter 3 and verse 13. It says, "Who is a wise man and do with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom." Again, the meekness and wisdom, it's shown in our spirit. If we're walking in the wisdom of Christ, we're going to have some meekness of wisdom. Our spirit will indicate whether or not we're walking in the wisdom of God through the Word of God. And God's Word sways our spirit towards meekness and humility, which are signs of a wise believer. How can you and I know if we're growing in meekness and wisdom? Because we are to be growing in our walk with the Lord. We're to be growing in our faith and in our relationship. That's not to, again, I want us to be reminded, it's not about having a perfect life. It's not about being sinless. We can't be sinless. One day we will be when we get our glorified bodies, but we have that temptation, again, to want to give somebody a piece of our mind. that has done us wrong. We have that temptation to want to, you know, fight back against somebody who is, you know, again, mocking us, being cruel to us. But what if it's not against our enemy? What if it's just against another brother or sister in Christ that we disagree with? Or what if it's just because, you know what, my spouse, my child rubbed me the wrong way this morning? They did something to ruffle my feathers. They got under my skin this morning. I let them have it. That's not walking in the wisdom of Christ. That's not being rooted in godly wisdom. But how can we know if we're growing in weakness and wisdom? Again, we should be growing. Number one, I believe that we will always seek godly counsel. We'll always seek godly counsel in our life, whether it's from God's word or from somebody that we trust who we know is walking with the Lord. Proverbs 11:14, where no counsel is, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors there is safety. Most people, most young people are not going to go ask their parents if getting on Facebook is right or wrong. Because some parents use Facebook to keep up with family members. It's not wrong with Facebook in and of itself, but there are some wrong things on Facebook. Seeking godly counsel is, you know what? I don't know if this is going to affect me negatively. And again, not just Facebook, but just things in our life, decisions we have to make. Again, the ways of a man seem right in his own eyes. It seems right, it seems okay, but you know what? I'm going to talk to somebody else. I'm going to ask somebody else what they think, someone who's on the outside looking in. We'll know if we're growing in meekness and wisdom when we seek that godly counsel. We want somebody else's godly input so that I will remain rooted in the wisdom of Christ, walking in the ways of the Lord, and not being drawn into the devil's pit. We'll also be willing to admit failure. When we are growing in meekness and wisdom, we'll be willing to admit our failure because we recognize, you know what? I'm not perfect. Not using it as an excuse. Well, I'm not perfect. I've heard people use it as an excuse. Well, I'm not perfect. We know that. Nobody's perfect. But admitting when we mess up, admitting our failure, we'll know that we're growing in meekness and wisdom because we're able to say, you know what? I messed up. I said I wouldn't, and I did. I didn't mean to, but I did. In Romans 12 and verse 3, the Bible says, "For I say through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith," thinking soberly, being willing to admit our failures. Admitting them because we want to grow. Admitting them because, you know what, we don't want them to have any bearing upon our relationship with the Lord. Admitting them because we don't want that failure to stifle our walk in Christ. But also we'll know that we're growing in meekness and wisdom because we'll give glory to God for all of our successes. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 31, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Let him glory in the Lord. If you and I stop being rooted in the wisdom of Christ, again, we're not talking about losing your salvation. You cannot lose your salvation. But again, if we stop walking in the wisdom of Christ, we'll find ourselves in more trouble. We'll find ourselves being distanced from God. Not because God left us, but because we've shifted away. We've drifted away from the Lord. You know, it's sad to know young people, they go to church, been baptized, claim to be a Christian, and yet you cannot tell that they are on Facebook. Because they're using foul language. They're saying things that they don't believe God loves them. Because does it really matter what the world says about us? Does it matter if someone says you're ugly? No, because what is the world's standard of beauty versus God's view of beauty? The beauty is on the inside. And I bring this up because, listen, I once was young. I'm still young. I'm only 49. My wife keeps saying, you know, you're 50? I just turned 49. And I'm going to hang on to 49 until the Lord comes. But I remember being young. I remember being a teenager. I remember being in my early 20s. I remember having the mindset that I know what to do. I will make my own decisions. I'll make my own choices. I'm finally graduated from high school. I will not be told what to do. But then having to learn the hard way about life and about the devil and how the devil does not play fair. And getting older as a Christian and understanding that, you know what, I need to be rooted more in the wisdom of Christ every day of my life. Never getting to a point where I think, all right, I'm good to go. And as parents, let's not be, and even grandparents have influence over grandkids, let's not be naive thinking, well, my kid is good. My kid will make good decisions. No, they won't. There's not a single kid that will always make a good decision. And we have to be mindful of that and watch for them and help them. I say that not because we have no good kids in this church. We have some good kids in this church. And they're not all my kids. But I want us to understand this morning that we're living in a time where we've got to be rooted more in the wisdom of Christ. And it needs to bear out in our life and in our spirit, the way that we respond to people, the way that we respond to God. He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Now, when you think about wisdom being demonstrated in our life, I want you to think about also, how is wisdom devalued in my life? How is the wisdom of God devalued in my life? Well, look at verse 14 through 16. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. You understand? This wisdom, what wisdom? Bitter envying and strife. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there's confusion in every evil work. Godly wisdom is devalued when we're divisive among ourselves and with others. Bitter envying and strife, it says in verse 14. It's devalued when there is divisiveness. James chapter 1, verse 26, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Man's religion is vain when we can't even bridle our own tongue. Now listen, I'm not saying lay down and let somebody run over you. But sometimes it's better to keep the tongue in instead of just letting every poison come out. The Bible even says of a fool is considered wise when he keeps his mouth shut. We don't always have to say everything that comes to our mind. Again, Sometimes you'll know if a person is wise or not just by what they say. And as we are rooted in the wisdom of Christ, we will learn what to say, when to say it, and how to say it. In verse 15 and 16, it says that it's devilish. That by devaluing God's wisdom, by just allowing there to be envy and bitterness and strife, it's devilish. It's devalued when we act devilish, according to verse 15 and 16. Now, I want us to think about this morning because it's not an easy message. It might even be a topic that we would kind of dismiss and say, well, I'm not that way towards other people. But how are we towards our spouse? How are we towards other believers? And again, as I say spouse, I know that there are some that do not have good marriages. And let me tell you, I pray for you on a daily basis about the marriage. Some aren't even married. But listen, if we find ourselves so easily able to spew things out of our mouth towards loved ones and then turn around and we're so kind to somebody else, the Bible says that's devilish. Especially if it's to a child of God. And believe me, I don't claim to know everything or understand every person's life. But just knowing what the Bible says, and believe me, I'm not perfect. The wisdom of this world is considered devilish because it's the polar opposite of God's wisdom. The wisdom of this world says just do it. You know, I think this was in the 90s. There was a philosophy in the 90s, I forget who it was, but they were trying to teach spouses that, you know what, just let loose. Don't hold it in. Just whatever is on your shoulders, whatever's on your chest, just let it go. And then they were even teaching them to take up, I don't remember if it was boxing mittens or something else, and just fight. You know, but use something that's soft that you can't hurt each other. I mean, just, you know, let it go. That's the worst counsel I've ever heard. You know what? We do need to let it go, but not in the face of somebody else. We devalue God's wisdom when we walk in the ways of the world. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, it says, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not." The lost are blinded to the truth. We as God's people should not be blinded to the truth. We as God's people should be walking in the light as He is in the light and enjoying our fellowship with the Lord. We should be rooted in the wisdom of Christ, knowing that, you know what? I can easily be led astray with a lie that sounds good. I don't know, have you ever bought a vehicle because the salesman sounded really good pitching his sales? And then after you bought the vehicle and you realized, I've been had. I think it happened to me more than once. Because then I tried to take the car back later to get something different. Oh, we can't help you. You owe too much on that car. We can't. Because most dealers, you know, you still owe money. You know, they'll swap it up. You owe too much. I'm like, what? Anyway, that's another message. But when you think about, the Bible does tell us, in Colossians 2:8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. We have to be warned that the ways of this world, through the ear gate, through the eye gate, the world still wants to destroy our faith in Christ. The world still wants, the devil still wants to lead us astray. And the ones I believe are more susceptible to the devil's lies and trickery are the young people. The older we get, we realize the devil, you know, what he's trying to do. Sometimes we still allow ourselves to be drawn into it because we think, well, I'm older now, I'm wiser now, I know, right? But young people who really know nothing, because I was young and I knew nothing, but I thought I was, you know, the wisdom of the world, I thought I knew everything. They're more susceptible. And we've got to be careful. We need to beware so that we're not spoiled by the philosophy and the vain deceit. Again, as I read earlier about G. Campbell Morgan, who was preaching the truth of God's word from 13 years old to 19. But sometimes, you know, we want to read what someone else is saying, and it may be so we can refute the lie as he's reading the writings of Charles Darwin and other critics of the Bible during his time. I know Christians who will read things that are not biblical and not godly just to see what it says, to try to refute it with somebody. We've got to be careful. Evil communications corrupt good manners. I don't need to study what's a lie to know it's a lie. There was a time in the FBI when, in order for them to tell counterfeit money, to tell a counterfeit $100 bill, they did not spend time studying all the counterfeits. They spent time studying the true $100 bill, the proof, the real thing, so they could spot a fake. But again, lots of Christians are studying the lies of the devil and they're being drawn into it. And they are dismissing the claims of God's word. And their hearts are filled with doubt. Doubt about themselves. Doubt about, why am I here? What is God doing in my life? Where am I going? It's sad, but on Wednesday night, one of our church members asked for prayer for someone's daughter who just tried committing suicide. Why do people try to commit suicide? Why are people successful at it at times? Because they don't know why they're here. They don't know what their purpose is, where they're going. Do you realize there's even been Christians who've committed suicide? And I often ask myself, why? How? I can understand a lost person committing suicide. They have no hope, but a child of God? And it happens. And we ask ourselves, how? If they're a child of God, why would they think and do that? Because they've allowed their minds to be intercepted by the evils of this world. They've allowed themselves to think things that are not true. They've given their life over to hopelessness. But if we stay rooted in the wisdom of Christ, if we allow the wisdom of God to dwell richly in our hearts and in our minds, you and I will have what the Bible talks about, peace. Because notice in verse 17, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. In verse 17, we just see the dignity of godly wisdom. There's no dignity in the world's wisdom, but there's dignity in the wisdom that comes from God. Because the wisdom that is from above comes from the very one who is the source of all wisdom. And his wisdom is pure. No shadow of carnality. It's pure, free from pride and divisiveness. It is evidenced through the person who doesn't make decisions based on the counsel of the unsaved. In Psalm chapter 1, it says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." Blessed is the man. There's danger in listening to non-believers. And when I say non-believers, I'm not just talking about the lost, because there are some Christians who have turned their back on the ways of God, and they want to tell their friends and other people in the church how bad God is and how bad things are. You know, it's better just to live your own life, and they have no peace. I found out that what my dad said was true. I didn't believe a lot of things he said, because, you know what, after all, I knew everything as a young person. But I found out something was true he said. Attitudes are contagious. Attitudes are contagious. In the years that I've been in the church scene, whether it was in Madison, Wisconsin, 13 years at our home church, or 7 years in the first church I pastored, or even in this church that God's allowed me to be here for 5 years, when somebody is disgruntled with God and they walk away from God, they always talk to somebody else to tell them why they're disgruntled, and sometimes it causes that person to leave as well. Can I say this? To be rooted in the wisdom of Christ is not to believe everything we hear. If someone says something, they're disgruntled about something, whether it's about the church, whether it's about your family, whether it's about, you know, whatever, we ought to be the Bereans and search out the matter. See if these things be. That's walking in godly wisdom, not just following the ways of man. Because when somebody talks that's disgruntled, they don't have the Spirit of Christ in them, they're not walking in the Spirit of Christ, you ever felt uneasy? You ever felt an uneasiness with them? That's because they're not talking with the right spirit. And that evil spirit wants to affect you. That evil spirit wants to influence your life. But with God, it's peaceable. God's wisdom is pure, and because it's pure, there's a peace that comes with it. And I want you to think about the peace that comes from God's wisdom. The fact is that you and I have peace with God. In Romans 5:1, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." How many of you experienced the peace of God in your life? There's something to it. Now, yes, I've experienced hardships as well, and I've experienced non-peace as well in my life, just like the next person. But there's something when the peace of God comes upon your life. There's just something about it. And we can respond to it like the disciples did when the disciples were so frantic in the boat with Jesus in the midst of the storm. The storm is raging. They're trying to bail water out. They're trying to get to shore. They can't do it. And they turn to Christ and say, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" And the Lord gets up and says, "Peace, be still." And the storm becomes a calm. And the Bible records those men, they fell down and said, "What manner of man is this? Even the waves obey his voice." There was a calm. There was a calm that came into their life. A calmness and a peace that reminded them that he's not just a man. He's Jesus Christ. He is the God of the heaven and earth. He is our Lord and Savior and our Redeemer. He's the one that brings peace between us and God and allows us to have the inner peace in the midst of a storm. Philippians 4, verse 6, be careful for nothing but in everything. By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. There's that inner peace when we're rooted in the wisdom of Christ. And because we have that inner peace and that peace with God, it allows us to have peace with others. Now, because the Bible does say, live peaceably with all men as much as lieth within you. And sometimes we might use that excuse of, well, do unto others as they would have you do unto you. And they obviously want me to do this unto them because they're doing it to me. And we let them have it. Because, you know, we want to be biblical. We want to be scriptural. They must want this, so I'm just going to, no. It's to be applied to us. Now, I can't live peaceably with all men. Some men just, they will not have it. Some people just, they don't want the peace. They don't want things to be rectified. They don't want, you know, to say they're sorry or whatever. Okay, I get that. But Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. There's an inner peace that helps us to remain rooted in the wisdom of Christ so we make sound decisions. So we see things through the eyes of Christ and not through the eyes of the world. But the peace that we have in God, it's not only an inner peace, it's not only a peace with others, but it helps us to be patient. The Bible says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. That peace, when we are rooted in the wisdom of Christ, reminds us, you know what? They may not want the forgiveness, but I'm going to forgive them anyway because, you know what? I don't want there to be anything between me and my God. I don't want to harbor iniquity in my heart because I want God to continue to hear my prayers. Not everybody. Again, we'll live peaceably with you, but we can have peace in our hearts knowing that, you know what? As long as I'm right with God, I'll let God deal with that person. The peace that we find in God, it's not only patient, but it's productive. It produces things in our life. And what does it produce? Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And the peace of God ruling in our hearts brings us to a point of just singing his grace, singing his praises, singing the fact that God is good. Things in my life may not be good right now, but at least I have a God in my life who's good, and he's good all the time. You know, there's not a time in God's existence that he's been wrong. He's always been right. You know, there's not a time that God's not been good to you and me. He's always good to us. And just having that peace on the inside helps us to sing those praises on the outside. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22, it says, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. No pretense whatsoever. No fakeness. Because we're allowing the peace of God to truly rule in our hearts that, you know what, I want to live peaceably with all men. Those that don't want to live peaceably, I'm not going to sweat it. I'm not going to let them rob me of my joy. I'm not going to lose sleep overnight because, you know what, I've forgiven them. I've given them over to the Lord. Because you and I can't change anybody. We'd like to. And sometimes we think, well, you know what, I can change them. Just let me get a hold of them. Let me wring their neck. Let me, you know, give them a piece of my mind. That doesn't change anybody. In fact, it makes us worse. But when we have the peace of God ruling in our hearts, we find the inner peace that we need. We find that we can truly be at peace with others, even if they're not at peace with us. We find ourselves, when we see these things being produced in our life, that, you know what? Man, by the grace of God, He's helping me to grow in meekness. He's helping me to grow in peace. He's helping me to grow in the grace of God. Godly wisdom is a priceless treasure. Too many of God's people have given up on it. I'm not saying everybody here, and please let God speak to your heart. But obviously, as a pastor, I know more, I see more, I'm told more of things. And there are times where I want to go to the person and shake them, nobody in here, and shake them and say, wake up! But I find myself at the time, just all I can do is pray for them. Pray that they would spiritually wake up. And probably what grieves me the most is young people. Young people who know better. Young people who know better and then they still choose. Because you know what? I know where that road leads. But you know what? If you and I will continue to be rooted in the wisdom of Christ, Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 13 will be absolutely true in our life. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. When we're rooted in the wisdom of Christ, we truly will understand what life is all about. We'll truly understand that the hardships we have to go through in life, the difficulties that we have to face, there is good to be found in it. Because in Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11, the Bible says, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Never forget, you and I were created to worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We were created to allow His goodness to shine through our life. You and I get to benefit in the goodness of our relationship with God. But others get to benefit from it too as they see the hope that lies within us. They see the peace that passes all understanding. They see our relationship with a Heavenly Father. Again, our young people need to be influenced more for Christ than allowing them to be influenced by the ways of the devil. You and I as adults, young adults, middle-aged adults, older adults, we still have to be mindful we have an adversary who still wants us to draw away from God, still wants us to kind of take those rabbit trails off the straight and narrow path. I remember getting lost one time in the woods. I stayed on the trail for a little bit. I saw, you know, a not so beaten down path. It might have been, you know, a true rabbit trail. And I just remember, you know, I know these woods. I've been in these woods. I know the direction of my aunt's farm. No problem. But found myself lost after a while because all the trees started looking the same. That's exactly where the devil wants all of us, just lost. Again, he can't take our salvation away. That was given by God. But man, does he want us to be lost? Now, look, I don't have all the words to say. I know the Holy Spirit of God does. This morning, we need to just ask the Lord, help us to be rooted in the wisdom of Christ, to make those sound decisions in our life, to be mindful of what is going on in the lives of our children. You remember Job? If you read the life of Job in the book of Job, he had some grown children. He never stopped praying for them. He never stopped praying for them. In fact, it even says, just in case they were doing anything that wasn't right, he prayed for them. He prayed on their behalf. What am I saying? Walk in the wisdom of Christ. Stay rooted in the wisdom of Christ. Don't let the philosophies, the slogans and logos of this world dictate your life. Don't just do it. Don't obey your thirst. All the slogans of this world, eh. What does God say? If God says it, then yes, I want to do it. And I want to be the deer who pants at the water brook, who continues to pant after God. My soul panteth, longing for the Lord. Obey that thirst. Obey the longing of the Lord.